When budgets are upside down and politics feel hopeless, what do you do when God still comes through on his promises? In this devotional, we go through Olympia's out-of-control spending to Luke chapter 1, where an elderly couple holds a miracle in their arms. You'll hear why overspending, pensions, and one-party rule are really heart issues and how God's faithfulness speaks into Washington's future. Stay with me because this might change how you vote, how you pray, and how you see hope in our state. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. Hey, we are in our series in the book of Luke, Getting to Know Jesus. And if you are enjoying this series, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're inside that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. Today's series title is When God Comes Through on His Promises. When God comes through on his promises. We're going to talk about what's happening around our state a little bit. But before we do, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. So here's what's happening in our state. According to the recent report from the Center Square covering an economic conference in Washington, former Governor Gary Locke criticized the Democrat-controlled legislature for what he described as out-of-control spending in Olympia and a lack of budget discipline, especially when one-time money is used to create permanent programs without a plan to sustain them. Here's a suggestion, guys. You can't use one-time money for unending budgets. I mean, it's crazy what our budgets have. Let's get back to the simple things. Government is made to punish evil and protect the innocent. According to Washington State Standard, business leaders are sounding the alarm about Washington State's finances, and it's not coming from politicians. It's coming from Todd Lukey, the CEO of the Seattle Kraken, and a key voice behind bringing the Sonics back to Seattle. He's warning lawmakers that credit agencies see Washington's outlook turning negative, and he's troubled that the majority Democrats are dipping into overfunded pensions to plug budget holes. When business leaders start asking if Washington is where they want to be, you know something deeper is shifting in our state. So there's a little bit of news for you. We are in some financial distraught. We need to move from one party rule to something different so that we can begin to have some accountability back in Olympia. So how do we do that? You need to vote, vote, vote. And that is what we're trying to encourage you to do. Primary ballots are out and you need to be completing those, filling those out, turning them. You also need to steward 10 to win. Find 10 friends. Make sure that they turn in their ballots. They find 10 friends and so on and so forth. It's so incredibly important that everyone vote. So we want to encourage you to get out the vote. All right, we are in Luke chapter 1, verses 57 through 66 today, and we're going to see God fulfill a promise today. It says this, "Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth." Now remember, Zacharias and Elizabeth could not have children, and yet Zacharias was promised to have a child, and so now we're seeing the fulfillment of this promise. It says, "Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy towards her, and they were rejoicing with her. And it happened that on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zacharias after his father." So tradition of the Jewish people is to call the oldest son after the father. But there was something different with John the Baptist specifically. "But his mother answered and said, 'No, indeed, but he shall be called John.'" I love that. "And they said to her, 'There is no one among your relatives who is called by that name.' And they made signs to his father as to what he wanted him called. And he asked for a tablet and wrote as follows, 'His name is John.'" I love that, Zacharias says. "And they were all astonished." You know, he went out of tradition. He said, this is to be John. This is going to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine being John the Baptist and you're supposed to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ to proclaim, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so they were astonished. "And at once his mouth," Zacharias' mouth, "was opened and his tongue loosed and he began to speak in praise of God." This literally happened. God fulfilled the promise. He said, hey, Zacharias, you want to kind of question or doubt or laugh? I can't remember what he did back over here. And so he was silenced. And he said, now God fulfills his promise. Two things. Zacharias began to speak. John the Baptist is born and circumcised. And we see that he begins to praise God, fulfilling that promise. Now, how many of us know that in Washington State, we need some hope in this state? I want to tell you, there are more for us than against us. If we will all participate in making sure that we love our neighbor by letting our voice be heard in the public square through voting, through stepping up and speaking truth and love to those around us, we are going to see the faithfulness of God around us like never before. Just like John's parents saw the faithfulness of God, we're going to see that as well. What was the response to his praise of God? Fear came on all of those living around them, and all the matters were being talked about in all the hill country of Judea. So when hope begins to spread, could you imagine living in that day? And here we have this old couple. It's been forever, and they haven't been able to have kids. They were godly. They were doing what to, you know, the Bible says they were blameless in the sight of God, walked righteously with God. But here that promise comes to fulfillment. God has his perfect timing. He is a merciful God. He will pour out his love in our hearts, and that we would be able to understand the very things of God. So we look at our situation, our circumstances, our generation that we're living in, and we're thinking, how do we see ourselves out of this? How do we get back to where we just tell the truth? How do we get back to where we live within our means? How do we get back to just common sense ideas that boys are boys and girls are girls? How do we get back to the simplicity of life? Well, let's rejoice that God is faithful to his promise. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. He is a sovereign God, and the goodness of God can spread from person to person to person. Here's what I want to encourage you. If you want to see genuine and authentic change, yes, we need to vote. Yes, we need to help our neighbors get out the vote. But the main thing is we need our hearts transformed by the Spirit of God. The Bible says that there is none righteous, no, not even one, that we have all fallen short of the glory of God, and that the only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ. It's a narrow road, not a wide road, a narrow road. And if we confess Jesus as Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Have you confessed Jesus today as Lord and Savior? Have you believed on him that he will raise Jesus from the dead? You know, we look at these issues in Washington State, like the overspending of budgets. That is a heart issue, right? Because if we have integrity in our heart and we want to do what's right, we're not going to take a one-time spending and use that for a long-term budget. People with integrity in the heart won't do that. But people who say, well, it's just going to all work out at the end, and they're somehow thinking that they can get around the system for temporary pleasure right now, they'll do these kind of things. When we have business leaders sounding the alarm about finances and maybe businesses pulling out of Washington State, and that they're dipping into overfunded pensions to plug budget holes, those pensions aren't theirs to spend. That's not their money. See, we need a heart transformation. We need a heart that will say, I'm going to stand before God. And look at this. When they heard of him praising God, fear became on all those living around them. Why would the fear rise up? Because you realize that when God's promises start being fulfilled, that God is holy, he's righteous, and he's going to fulfill them. There's coming a day when each one of us will stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and give an account. Let Jesus Christ be your intercessor in that moment. Why? Because you've called on the name of the Lord. You will be saved. All right, let's pray. Let's pray for Washington State. Let's pray over these elections. Let's pray over our decisions that we're going to make as a group and see what God can do in our state. Heavenly Father, we just lift up Washington to you. Our budgets are out of control. Our spending is out of control. We're dipping into funds that don't belong to us and just to sustain ourselves. So, Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. Put integrity in our hearts. Let your grace move in our hearts, God. We need to be people of integrity once again. God, we know that we've been ruled by a one-party solution, the Democratic Party. God, we pray repentance upon our hearts, that we've elected these officials, and that, God, we just need your outcomes. God, we know that our hope is not in a party or in a person or an elected official. Our hope is in you. So, Lord, would you cause revival to happen in Governor Bob Ferguson's heart? Will salvation come to the Democratic Party and to the Republican Party? Will they begin to once again glorify and honor you? God, we ask for this for our state, God, that we can get back to living within our means, to punishing evil and protecting the innocent, keeping government very simple and not making it complicated. We thank you for all that you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now get out there and defend in advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that Champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach. But you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.